GOB 92.9 FM wants you to enjoy the sweet life for 1 year. One lucky VOB listener will win a year of easy living. Groceries, utility bills, landline and mobile telephone services, fuel, internet services, education opportunities, health and fitness services, and many more. Here's how to enter. Spend $40 or more in fuel at any SO service station. $25 or more at any branch of KFC. $25 or more at the Lorry Dash Craft Shop. $50 or more at Accents and Decor. Or $50 or over at LED Illuminations. Every time, write your name and contact information on the back of the receipt or entry form and drop it in the box provided at any of our participating sponsors. Sweet life in VOB country. 1 year of easy living for one lucky VOB listener.
We're in studio with Indar Weir from the Barbados Labour Party, Mr. David Gill from the United Progressive Party, David Waldron from Solutions Barbados, and Derek Went from the Barbados Integrity Movement. And on completing our discussion leading up to the regional roundup, one of the things that has really shown its head many, many times on the WhatsApp, on the chat, and continues to come up in discussion when we talk about agriculture is predial larceny, the attack of dogs, monkeys, the gluts, the scarcity of crops. And the question is, how would your government, how would your party forming the next government deal with these things? I have a lot of time for persons who speak to the fact that they've gotten out of agriculture because they actually would have, you know, planted a lot of crops, and then the next day they wake up and there's nothing to reap. So I know it's a major problem, something that we've talked about, discussed a lot, had a lot of consultations on, Mr. Weir. But we have not addressed in any significant way. So the question to you, the panel, is how do we deal with these vexing problems of agriculture? Who goes first?
Corey? Since you used me as the opening batsman earlier, I suppose I will continue to open the innings. Predial larceny is a big problem in Barbados. I think the legislation of 2017 that went through Parliament needs to be revisited. The intent obviously is there. We will revisit the legislation to make sure that we can deal with the problem of predial larceny in terms of making sure that farmers are properly registered and that the persons who are involved in vending, et cetera, are protected as well as being included as part of the system. In terms of monkeys, that is a serious problem that we have in Barbados. I don't know anyone that can sit here right now and say this is my solution, because this is something that we have to look at. We have to look at how we can create environments for them so that we can get them away from becoming a nuisance to people who are involved in farming. That, of course, is something that will have to be looked at in a fairly serious way. And in terms of animals being attacked by dogs, well, currently in Barbados, really and truly, if you're supposed to be keeping dogs, they're supposed to be licensed, and your dogs are supposed to be in an environment where they're not just a nuisance to people's animals, but to people in general. And so therefore, if it is necessary for us to have to look at dog owners and see where we have to push the legislation in such a way that people become obviously cognizant of the fact that if you're keeping a dog, you have a serious responsibility, then that will be done as well. The reality of Barbados, again, is that I think the intent is there to do things. It's a question of how they're being done and when they're being done. And I agree with the person who sent the message that these things have to be addressed and addressed in the short term.
Okay.
Yes, Corey. I was going to mention it with or without the WhatsApp that you received. Statistical recording, constantly recording. To be able to project how you do your crops, to find out if you have overused the land or if you've overfished. A classic example is the sort of recordings you get statistical recordings you get out of Statistical Canada and Environmental Canada. You know, they will tell you things like how for the next 5 years there wouldn't be any fishing on such banks for salmon or what have you, any of the cold water fish. And we've got to take it seriously. Or sea egg. I have a sneaky feeling that my good friend Indar can get sea egg whenever he wants. Once you're from St. Philip, you can get your sea egg whenever you want.
I wish.
fool me with that. And I think they've gone beyond the limitation period. It also helps in monitoring the how you plant. The next thing is long range weather forecasting. You know, you say, well, look, a lot of fellas do agriculture in a haphazard manner. The same way they apply for fertilizers and pesticides, et cetera, et cetera. You've got to approach a scientific model, and that is why we have to bring it into the communities. When it comes to theft, predial larceny, theft is theft, as far as I'm concerned. If you read the law, you must do certain things before you can be charged for stealing. You must possess the person's things. You must take it into your possession, what the youngsters would call appropriate. You must, as the youngsters say, appropriate it unto yourself. And you do as you like and as you please with it. And once you can prove those, then you are guilty of theft, whether it's predial, jewelry, or what have you. It is theft. Going into a supermarket, putting it in your pocket and coming up with it and using it for your, that is theft. When it comes to animals, again, the law of tort would tell you that you cannot keep an animal on your compound, or you cannot store any item, be it water or otherwise, which would endanger the lives or the property of one other person. So therefore, I don't know if you've got to get all these little specific laws. There are broad sweeping laws which would look after it, and you charge the owner appropriately. Gluts every October, November, early December, you see thousands of pounds of pumpkin at the wayside. People bring it down to 50 cents. Now, pumpkin is one of the few things that they're perishable, non-perishable for a fairly long period of time, 5, maybe 6 months. And therefore, you've got to get people into feeding and phasing their planting rotation. And we speak about being so technologically savvy. Well, if we are that technologically savvy, let us plan a timetable for crops, especially those that you get gluts in. Let us implement and let us use and let us follow the technology. So that's my saying for my few words for the areas that you've just identified.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
David Waldron, Solutions Barbados.
David Waldron, Solutions Barbados. Now, our take on predial larceny is we have taken our solutions for predial larceny towards a technological end. We need to introduce technology, drones, that can monitor farms to protect farmers from predial larceny. So then, once we can get the thief before he gets your crop, then your crop is protected. As far as the issue of damage from animals, I agree totally with Mr. Gill. Owners of these animals must pay for the damage done to other people's crops. That I believe is a foregone conclusion to all. Monkeys, now, they're a different story. The problem with monkeys don't seem to be easily solved because we're not encouraged to kill monkeys. But I, as a youngster growing up, I've seen monkeys being caught, being trapped. We must find a place where we can trap these animals and move them away from people's crops.
They're very smart.
Because we have to save agriculture. And we can't sit back and allow a monkey who is not supposed to be as intelligent as us, control how we do agriculture.
Supposed
to be. So Solutions Barbados will support
these initiatives, but merely the initiative of using drone technology to help protect our farmlands and our livestock.
All right. So we go over to Derek Wendt from Barbados Integrity Movement. We're looking at predial larcening. We're looking at the whole idea of gluts and scarcity, monkeys, dogs.
Okay, well, predial larceny, stealing is stealing, as Mr. Gill said. You know, the minute you take something that does not belong to you, it means you've stolen it. And that, again, is from a Christian perspective, in a Christian nation, we're told that thou shalt not steal. So you have to understand, why is it that people steal? Why is it that somebody would come to a yard that where somebody has put their whole effort in and, you know, grown food, and then you're going to take it without any recourse? You know, the fact that you're going to be stealing means that you have some lack or need or some apparent drive to fulfill for yourself, to make your own ends meet. So we have to address the original cause rather than the problem, and how it is that you then provide the security for the individuals who are going to be stealing the food so that they don't have to steal. That is really where you get down to the crux of healing the problem rather than treating the symptoms. The whole idea of using technology and so on, well, maybe could I identify all these things about, you know, the best way to guard the guards, to make, to prevent people from doing what is wrong. But it also then comes down to education, how you get people to understand where their place is in the scheme of things, the implications of their choices, and what is the result of those choices. So deal with the problem at its root. With, what was the other one? It was food security?
Right. Mm-hmm. In terms of the gluts and the scarcity.
The gluts and the things, well, that comes again with the value-added product. If you have a glut of a certain product, it means that you are wasting it at the end of its growing season. You have nothing to do with this product. When we hear about thousands of pounds of tomatoes being dumped because you can't sell them, that to me is ridiculous. We have solar energy, we have drying facilities, we have preservation, understanding all the technology is there to be able to apply the solutions. And it is a question of then bringing these things to a forum which can address the need. Where is that ties directly into our food security situation. If you have the ability to preserve food, like the creation of pickles out of cucumbers, the fermented foods that are so huge on the market now, billion-dollar industry in fermented foods, we don't look at any of these things in terms of the solutions and the plans outlined for agriculture in this country. We don't have a vision of food forests, how we can get the monkeys to be eating the food in the forest rather than in the fields. Hmm. We drive down Horse Hill, all the guava trees, all the mango trees are gone. When I was growing up as a boy, you could go and feast on fruit in those hills. Now there's none. Where are the monkeys going to go? Into people's yards. They talk, the rastas say they talk to the monkeys, and the monkeys listen to them, and they don't eat the food from this side of the yard. I don't know how true that is.
Interesting.
But the thing is, you know, you have to deal with the causes of the problems rather than trying to, like, okay, there's a solution here and a solution there and a solution over here. Let's try this and let's try that. That is not how it works. You got to find the root causes of issues, problems that arise out of practical need. And when you apply those things the way that people are able to tap into and find a sense of purpose and reason for doing, that their whole pride, the whole issue of industry, the whole issue of developing the nation as a destination which would be exemplary to the world, where we have the best food in the world, the best herbs can be grown in Barbados, the best fruits can be grown in Barbados, and we have the ability to then develop, identify and develop value-added product out of all of our indigenous traditions that come with life in the Caribbean. There's just no end to the possibilities. But we have to find the actual cause of the issue that we're trying to solve. And if we don't identify those causes, then you're spinning top in mud, as we say.
As in there, I say a structured conversation.
Yes.
This one says, "Pretty larceny. I live in a development in St. James. At the beginning of the year, wanted to reduce my food bill and decided to turn some of my backyard lawn into 5 small 3-foot by 1.5-foot garden beds. I planted carrots and beets. When they were ripe and ready for harvesting, they were harvested by me. 2 little beds of carrot and 1 of beets, and they were stolen." No, she said what was to be harvested by me. That's probably what she meant. "No, I did not report the matter. What's the point? There is no help or rare resources for career farmers, so there will be none for me." I want to read that, and this other one which states, "Sorry, monkeys are not indigenous animals. They should be culled and exterminated." So those are like two suggestions. I want to say as we approach the 12:30 ladies, we got to come back and deal with this. I was just saying my rapport, I want to assess what you guys are saying. I'd say I'm fairly impressed in terms of some of the specifics coming out on that, particularly in relation to the drone. But I want to talk about penalties and what type of legislation, as I agree with David, we don't need to come and bring and reinvent legislation. But from my understanding, when you have things pretty larceny versus grand theft, because I believe when you steal somebody's car worth $5,000 and you bone it and leave it there, that's grand theft. Mm-hmm. Because when you go into a supermarket, you take up a can of tuna for $2.99, because you are going into an establishment and the type of mental culture we got, that's thieving. Mm-hmm. But when you go in, that's pretty larceny. Come on now. I agree with y'all. Thieving is thieving. And I was actually in a police station a time when a farmer came in crying to the police. Someone took up his cow and it was carving it. He said, come, come, come. They're carving it right now. Come, let me take you. And that old man had to leave that police station crying. But that's a story for another time. The story for now is the latest from the Starcom Network News. So more of agriculture here on the People's Parliament when we return.
We highlight and celebrate our national heroes. The reflections on their profiles and work are part of the celebration of National Heroes Day. But we also continue to draw great inspiration from the legacies they have left behind, as we too play our part in building our nation. Salute our national heroes, brought to you by Kensington Mall, a brand new shopping experience.
The Right Excellent Sir Garfield Sobers, 1936. The Right Excellent Sir Garfield St. Albans Sobers was an outstanding sportsman and remains a legend in international cricket. He rose from the Bayland to become captain of the West Indies team and is still regarded as the world's greatest all-rounder. His record of 365 runs not out stood as the highest individual test score for 36 years until it was surpassed by Brian Lara in 1994. Sir Garfield made that incredible record in 1958 when he was only 21 years old.
Salute our national heroes, brought to you by Kensington Mall, a brand new shopping experience.
You're listening to the People's Parliament on this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Now, we want to continue to look at the whole issue of agriculture, and we have in studio in Darwin from the Barbados Labour Party, David Gill from the United Progressive Party, Mr. David Waldron from Solutions Barbados, and we have Derek here from the Barbados Integrity Movement. And before we took the break, we were looking at the whole idea of addressing predial larceny. So I want to continue to look at that in relation to the dogs, in relation to the monkeys, in relation to the glass. And I was saying I was quite impressed with some of the things that have been mentioned in relation to using technology like drones and using the whole canning and storage and value added in terms of looking at the gluts. So those are things that are practical things that you can sink your teeth into and actually get them done. In relation to the dogs, and I have personal experience with these. I've been into farming for a very long time. And it's only recently I've gotten a lot of attacks from dogs. And I can tell you, I think Indar mentioned it too, is one of those things very, very hard to actually address. Even if you look at registering the dog and so on, licensing the dog, this is something we know don't really occur as it should. And then you have stray dogs actually breeding out into the open. And who then is responsible for these offspring? We've tried a number of methods. I want to mention them here. I don't know if all of them are mentionable. But the thing is that these dogs continue and they actually return in numbers. They started out as 2, then 5, then 7. We got them back down to about 5, but 5 can still do a lot of damage. And I was hoping that we would have some idea of how we can address these dogs. I don't know. We could give it some thought. I think, and I mentioned it, there's just not an easy solution to this. With the monkeys, I know what had worked in the past. People used to use molasses in the boundary tree. I don't know if that was a myth. what's worked for me is the fact that we do have horses on the property, and somehow monkeys and horses don't get along, so we never had monkeys at all. We have monkeys on the outskirts, but they don't come on. Something we tried in the Government Hill area with one of the schools we were working with is this whole idea of the rubber snake. Monkeys don't like snakes either, so we just have a rubber snake, you move it around, and that had corrected the problem at that particular school. But in relation to Pretty Large Snake, I would like to know, in relation to the parties here, are you willing really to treat this like grand theft, like the grand theft that it is? Instead of getting 3 months or a slap on your wrist, like we have seen in very high profile cases in Barbados, are any of the parties here willing to actually increase the serious penalties? And I say that in mind with Derek from BIM. He mentioned something I like to as well. Let's look at the cause. Where are people stealing? Can we get people more empowered that they can steal less? But it will always be the thieves among us. What then do we do with those belligerent people who decide, I like you to work, I like you to water and plant, but I like for me to harvest? What do we do with them?
Me first?
Anybody go.
Okay. What I would say is that I am one that firmly believe in people empowerment. I feel that if you give a fella a fair opportunity to participate, invariably you got a fella who will become a good citizen. The problem that we face generally when it comes to matters like these is that people often feel that they are not part of a system. A guy might feel that he wants to, say for example, produce cane juice, but doesn't feel as though he needs to plant the cane, simply because we have not educated him to the extent that he recognizes that he's part of a system where he can develop an industry in producing, develop a business in producing sugarcane juice. The little things that are taken for granted, I think we now have to educate people as to why they now need to do away with the bad habits and get involved in a more productive, organized system. So we have to empower people. We have to give people a chance. Many of our young fellows, especially the ones on the blocks who are often targeted, I must say, would come to you and say, look, I need some land to work. Mm-hmm. And they invariably they can't get it. And why they're not getting it is not because the land is not available. Oftentimes the rigors that they have to go through to get the land, they don't have the tolerance and the patience.
That's the problem. What's the solution?
Mm-hmm. The solution is to make sure we make it a very seamless way. You put a system in place where if you go constituency by constituency and you develop a system for land use where you divide up agricultural land into lots and say, look, these are available X numbers to the people to use. You come, you register, you get the lot and go forward. The other problem with it is that you also have to put other mechanisms behind it, because I can give you land, but if we are not getting rain, then you still can't work the land. And so we have to look at the irrigation systems and the use of water.
I want to give you a scenario, and this goes back to my point to you at the beginning, that the inertia in agriculture didn't start 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. When I was applying for the land, for the landless project, on the farm, it had this process should take approximately 6 weeks. And I remember going through, and it actually came to a point where, thank God for Live Up, where they had this bipartisan HIV movement where the Honorable Mayor Motley and the late David Thompson actually came together in unity for HIV, and I was able to present. And then the both of them decided that we can try to give you some help. And that is how I got put on to the Land for the Landless project. And even with the Prime Minister at the time pushing that, it took me 2 years. The persons in the Ministry of Agriculture made comments to me, I feel like special, because people is normally going to wait 9 to 11 years. How do you fix a problem like that? How do you fix a problem? I wanted to challenge Dr. McLean on this when he said there's not a lot of government land. When we toured on the 4x4, the land for the landless project for an entire day, Minister Ben at the time, who was the Minister of Agriculture, was extremely surprised at the number of acres land for the landless has out there that is also not being utilized. So there's lots of land under the Land for the Landless project. How do we fix problems like that? So that when that young person comes in, most of them are not going to be like me. They're going to knock on the door probably for a year and then they're turned off. How do we fix the problem that when people walk into BADMC and say, look, I am a landless farmer and I want to apply to your 6-week process? How do we fix the fact that we have public servants actually processing those applications, doing the due diligence, yes, but being able to issue people with land to get on with the farming?
Well, first of all, Corey, you know, we didn't have these handsets before, and our pace of communicating was so archaic that nowadays this is a very seamless thing. I think in going forward, and we can't only just identify the past, but we got to look to how we go forward. Mm-hmm. And in going forward, it is very clear on the Barbados Labour Party that we are going to use information communication technology.
But in order to change the form, but we change the people. The people that did that to me and doing it to the other farmers, they are still sitting now where they're sitting now today. You know, I know. I could catch the bus and go and see them now.
Yeah, but perhaps with the new system that will go in place, that would eliminate the problem. Put in a lot of these things, first of all, you have to identify where you're going to use your land. You then identify the time frame for which it's going to be distributed. You then put a selection process in place. You put it online. Give people a chance to deal with it online. You have a close-off period in which this can either be accessible to you or not by you answering a set of simple questions, and you go forward like that.
But he did all of that in short order. You know, he had interviews and all that was done. He had to come in with interviews and where you can plant and how much you can plant. He did all of that. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, the people, I don't know if anybody want to take a stab at that. How do we move the system along that it is more efficient to answer the problem that Indar put on the table in terms of access to land for young, particularly young farmers? And I want to put a plug there for young farmers too, in terms of people saying that parents have been saying this and that. We've talked the whole day, we haven't talked about AgriFest, and AgriFest has demonstrated to me that there are a lot of other young successful farmers out there doing some good work. But how do we tackle the process of access to land and the systems that we already have in place? How do we make them work?
Corey, Solutions Barbados has, from the time I joined Solutions Barbados.
Oh, yes, so in 2001?
Not,
but I hear happy boy.
Yes, so in 2001, but you probably will not hear much about it from me. Mm-hmm. But as a person who have managerial experience, the problem with what you went through and what is happening within government is managerial. The systems are not my people friendly. Mm-hmm. And governments have to make these systems people friendly and not create lords out of public servants. They got to understand that the role they play in the society they're supposed to serve. So a Solutions Barbados government, they have been always, from the beginning, I've always heard them Solutions say, look, we are about reorganizing how government business is managed.
And it is a major plank in how we do business in many, many aspects. So it is something that needs to be tackled. You cannot talk any topic here on People's Parliament or other without looking at the public service and how it responds to the applications and the regulations and the responsiveness. Somebody else take us.
It's certainly about the ease with which people can access the services that the government is supposed to be providing for the uplift of the people. If it is that there's long protracted delays in terms of realizing your plans and dreams, then people are going to get frustrated and drop out. I have personally experienced that myself, you know, in terms of getting involved in processing and the development of the value-added product sector. But the thing is that, again, if you have a program that does not have a sense of purpose, that gives people a way to plug into what is being done as a national vision, then you're going to get people falling away, because then they don't know, you know, they're sort of operating in a willy-nilly kind of situation. They're growing what they feel like. The issues with glut and the shortfalls and the lack of inputs and so on will always be a challenge. But if you create a national program which can identify certain ingredients that are going to feed the national impetus, that are going to take all that what we want to be doing forward in terms of providing the solutions and the products and the opportunities for people that tap into these programs, with the agricultural base being very clear as to what it is they have to do to be able to move forward in connection with what is the national vision for feeding the nation, for creating the value-added product, for developing the export industry, for reducing the food import bill, for establishing a firm foundation on which we can establish our food security. Then people get that sense of connection and purpose. And if they don't have that, it is very easy to fall away. Mm-hmm. You know, it is one thing to be interested in agriculture and put in a whole set of crops. But then when come time for harvest, you lose an endless quality. Mm-hmm. You know, things are just rotting in your fields. You can't get the supermarkets to take it. You don't know if the hotels are going to take it. The restaurants are not buying your food. You need something that's going to connect up all of these issues to make them viable. And you identify the viability before assigning, you know, the purpose. And within that, then, the purpose becomes clear. And we know how to move forward and step forward in a very positive and creative way.
Right. We have Mr. David Gill, then we go back to the gallery.
I sum up what Derek just said by forecasting and record keeping, and hopefully that will make a dent in it.
Make it more scientific.
You see, this is it. We have to, when we speak about agriculture, we don't have the land mass of Canada, but what we've got to do, we got to think big. We got to use the technology, as well as the tilling, the reaping, the picking, the storing, the preserving. You got to move up, or just, as I said, the statistical recording. Now, I think it doesn't matter if it's agriculture or not. A youngster goes to get a certificate of character. Between me, I think it takes too long to get a certificate of character. All right, you go to get something out to the poor. It take a little too long again, and the modern age is you access information at the click of a mouse, and you got your information. As I said, the people born after a certain time, and this didn't necessarily come with the recent technology. I'd say that they've been brought up in a disposable age. You never had to wait for diapers. Get wet, take it off. You got a dry one there. You don't have to wait for to mix milk and to get a pie. You just shake it out, stir it, and put it in the oven. So that is the kind of age that we are living in. I think when you go to a man set in his ways, he's been in Ministry of Agriculture over 20 years. You come, you look at a youngster. He said, man, he's making joke, man. He got time to waste with it.